time we had in the 60s. This is Bob Hudson on ABC Radio, and if I could do it all over again, I'd do it all over you. I'm going to do it all over again tonight. We're going back to the glorious 60s. Just One Look from Doris Troy. Now, I'm a bit worried here because I'm going to introduce a new concept. Although, I mean, we're 60s people. We could handle new concepts then, and we can still handle them now. This is not a song recorded in the 60s. It was recorded later. But it's a song not just about the 60s, but about one of the much-loved media characters of the 60s, and I think that that's acceptable within the parameters and guidelines of our program. I do have the official guideline book here, and I will quote from it. It says, from the blokes and blokesses who run the ABC, "Dear Bob, come in at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night, play a whole lot of 60s stuff, and then go home at 12 o'clock. See ya. Regards us." So, you know, we do have fairly broad guidelines, and I thought that since this song is about the 60s and it's about someone from the 60s, I won't tell you who it is. You have to work it out by listening to the song, and if you don't know who the song's about, then you weren't really around in the 60s, or perhaps you didn't have a telly. Well, everyone did, didn't they? Even though they were only black and white. I find it very hard to explain that to young people, that television didn't used to have coloured pictures on it once. Oh, they boggle at that. They boggle at that. But anyhow, it's a couple of American artists called Buskin and Batteau. You've never heard of them. I've never heard of them. But, gee, they can get hold of a good song now and again.
tell you I'm not just one more mouse to tear. Come back one more time, Annette. You're still the sweetest girl I've ever seen. Everything I dreamed about was pointing at me right there on the screen. It's like heaven on my head. Come back one more time, and then you're still the greatest chick I've ever seen.
Soon. Why?
A hymn of homage to the Mousketeers, Mousketeer, Annette Funicello from Buskin and Bateau, which was actually recorded a few years ago in Boston at a concert that Tom Rush does occasionally. And if you liked your mellow-voiced, album-oriented bloke singers of the 60s, who's still around to this day and still singing beautifully, then you will remember Tom Rush. And actually, I've got a nice 60s reminiscence, musically speaking, from Tom Rush later on in the program. Buskin and Bateau, those chaps are. I think it's probably the only thing they've ever done in their life of any significance, but I don't know, writing a song of homage to Annette Funicello, pretty good news. There are lots of those cute little homage songs around, of course, over the years. There are tons and tons of Beatles songs, some of which we've played on the program. There's Rock and Roll Heaven, of course, wasn't there, about all the dead ones. And it's a great genre, the homage song. I can feel a special coming on. One of these days, that's what we'll do. Songs by people writing songs about other people. And just for the rude people, no, we will not have the one about Stevie Nicks, because that wasn't written in the 60s. And the rude people will know just what I'm talking about there. I've never heard it, but I've heard of it. There's apparently a pretty disgraceful song around about Stevie Nicks of Fleetwood Mac. But nothing to do with this program at all, except that we're always prepared to pass on, you know, any sort of salacious gossip. Well, where are we going now? Let's boogie up a little bit. Here's a song that for some reason I've always associated with the Jackson 5, but I think they may have only revived it.
Taking candy from a baby.
It's as easy as pie. The hard part is living without love. Without your love, baby, I would die. It's easy, like taking candy from a baby.
One, two, three, a big, big hit in 1965 for Lynn Barry. And you probably remember Lynn. His real name was Leonard Borisov. And I've seen a picture of him. He certainly looks like he's probably of Central European or perhaps even Russian extraction somewhere there. But he, Lynn, used to be in a group called the Deauvilles. Remember their hit in 1961, Bristol Stomp? Well, of course you do. You're from the 60s. But that was Len's biggie from 65. This is Bob Hudson. We're back in the 60s, as usual.
To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to build up, a time to break down. A time to dance, a time to mourn. A time to cast away stones. Gather stones together. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time of love, a time of pain. A time of war, a time of peace. A time you may embrace. A time to refrain from embracing.
A time to gain, a time to lose, a time to it's not too late.
Turn from the Birds, which is very nice as long as you don't listen very, very closely to a couple of the guitar bits in the middle where they just seem to wander off into pixie land, but managed to come back in time for the chorus. People didn't seem to worry too much about that sort of thing back in the 60s. The exciting new electric guitar sound, that sort of ning, 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 ning sound was so new and different that it hardly mattered if it was just off the beat once or twice during a recording. Anyway, oh look, I did promise you, before we go any further, this cute little song by Tom Rush about, another group of heroes of the 60s. Once again, going back to television, we've not really paid terribly much attention to the television programs of the 60s on this program, concentrating, as we do, of course, on the popular music. But it's always in the back of my mind just how much time for a generation that supposedly got out and did it all, got out and got stuck into the live music and exploring new lifestyles and changing the face of society as we knew it and all that sort of stuff. Isn't it funny how much spare time we still had to sit home and watch the telly? Here's Tom Rush.
I'm sitting here in my jockeys, my last clean pair of socks. Just me, a bud, some Fruit Loops, reruns on the Magnavox. There's a pile of final notices in my mailbox. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Now the president, he's telling me the recession came and went. Nobody got broke. We only got bent. So how come my phone's still off and I can't pay my rent? Whoa, 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 whoa. Can't you see I'm on the run? They're coming for me, I can hear them knocking. Set the phasers to stun. Now the Klingons, they came last night. They repossessed my van. My cerulean brandy's all used up. This is my last can. But I ain't giving up, no way. 'Cause I still have a plan. Beam me up, Scotty.
Beam me up, Scotty. That's Tom Rush. And there is a new series of Star Trek, which for some reason they're flogging on video, and it hasn't turned up on TV yet, which I reckon is pretty cheap, isn't it? Didn't mind the Star Trek films that they made with the old crew, although some of them did look a bit battered. But the new Star Trek's just not the same. Not the same. Some very good science fiction writers used to do the scripts for Star Trek. And I remember actually reading once a whole book. It was called The Trouble with Tribbles, and it was about just one book about the writing of one episode of Star Trek and the whole politics of how it was done. It was very cute because the studios just wanted to change stuff all the time, and they had lots of battles with the writers. It's amazing that those sort of programs ever got made. The guy who wrote the script had baddies in mind, and they wanted to change the baddies. I think the baddies were supposed to be people with accents, and they decided that this was not an appropriate time to have people with accents being the baddies, so they had to make them funny little alien monsters instead. And, oh, it's very gorgeous stuff. But just every now and again you come across... I love those sort of books, you know, that go into the fine detail of how things get done. There's a terrific... I mean, a bit off the subject. There's a terrific book around about the making of that Michael Cimino film, Heaven's Gate, that cost a huge fortune, and all of the curious happenings there. I love that sort of stuff. Nice bit of background information. Anyway, we're back in the 60s, and here's a song that a few people have recorded really beautifully. I must say, James Taylor's done a nice version of it in recent years, but I have to keep going back to the Drifters.
Up on the roof. This old world starts getting me down, and people are just too much for me to face. I climb way up to the top of the stairs, and all my cares just drift right into space.
On the Roof. Oh, that's such a nice song from the Drifters. A classic from the 60s. Here's an Australian classic from the 60s from a classic Australian personality from the 60s, Johnny Young.
I'll be so lonely without got you, biding my time, loving you, lady, driving me crazy, watching the trains go by, loving you, lady. You ain't seen the last of me. From your window, watch as your doubts grow, wondering if I'll be home. Watch as your doubts grow. You ain't seen the last of me.
Written by Barry Gibb, that's Johnny Young and Lady, one of his hits from the 60s. There's an album, a whole series of albums, actually, that Glenn Baker put together with Festival of what they are called the Festival File of Classic Australian Recordings. And they each one dedicated to artists, an artist or a group, like Rob E.G.'s got a record out, is represented on the collection, Nylene Batley and Dig Richards and Ray Hoff and the Offbeats and Ray Brown and the Whispers and the Whole Stack of People. But there's a lovely photograph of Johnny Young wearing it's a bit hard to tell because it's only what they call a three-quarter shot of him, but it looks suspiciously like a caftan, like a sort of a, you know, those caftans that looked like they were made out of the fabric from your grandma's lounge, those sort of caftans. I'm not quite sure. Maybe. Oh, no, sorry. No, there's another photograph of him. It wasn't actually a caftan. It was a one of those long jackets, that the opposite of a bum freezer jacket, you know, the ones that came down a long way. Yes, sorry, Johnny, I've accused him wrongfully of caftan wearing, but it certainly looked like it was made from someone's grandma's curtains. I wonder if he kept the jacket. I wonder if he can still get into it.
Free, go with him.
Arthur Alexander, whose version of Anna inspired the Beatles to record that song a little later on. This is Bob Hudson back in the 60s. I'm very sorry that I almost accused Johnny Young of a bit of 60s caftan wearing. I've checked up and I'm sure that at least in the photograph I've seen he wasn't wearing a caftan, because the caftan really, I think most of us would admit, was one of the big dag fashions of the 60s. It really was. It was right up there with skivvies. And I must admit that I was known to engage in a bit of furtive skivvy wearing back then, but never a caftan. Oh, no, a bit like a frock, really, wasn't it? Oh, dear. There's another dreadful fashion item of the 60s. Most of the fashions of the 60s were really very cute, which you can enjoy them all over again in a lot of modern fashion, actually. There was a women's fashion that I've spent years trying to find out what it was called, and I think it was a fashion so hideous that the women of Australia have blocked it out of their collective psyche. I've never even met anyone who admits ever having one of these outfits, let alone remembering what they were called. And you used to see them everywhere in the mid-60s. It was a little mini skirt outfit, usually in a pastel coloured linen. That was very popular for it. So it would have perhaps been maybe 64, 65. And underneath it was a matching pair of shorts, and the shorts projected an inch or two in the old measurements down below this little miniskirt thing. So I suppose in some ways it was a way of wearing a miniskirt without actually wearing a miniskirt, but just the combination of the shorts sort of poking out the bottom, and it wasn't like those passion killers that were big at one stage, the underwear things, but this was actual matching shorts to go with the little tunic-y sort of skirt. But having the shorts sticking out the bottom just for some reason made it look really daggy. I mean, really, truly daggy. If you'd seen a girl wearing an outfit like that with a bloke with a caftan on, they would have been both, I suppose, the epitome of everything that the 60s should be deeply embarrassed about.
Listen to me. Every man and woman, the land in which you dwell is no longer hell. So verify your eyes that you can't realize the move has just begun. The world will love in the sun.
really is kind of cute. It's one of those totally obscure songs from the 60s. Flower Children is called, from VYT and the World. I'm not sure if VYT is VYT or VIT or VIT or VIT. It's just one of those obscure things that cropped up on a collection of 60s stuff. And I'm always searching for something new from the 60s for you. That's not a bit tautological to say that. New stuff, straight from the 60s. But it's cute, isn't it? Did you hear the woodblocks, the little cowbell, like a wooden cowbell sound that drummers got very fond of in the 60s, a ticky-tocky, ticky-tocky sound? The really good thing about them was that it used to keep them from bashing the cymbals quite so much. And so I always thought it was a big advance when drummers got those. They cut down on the cymbal playing, and sometimes it even meant that they didn't get a chance to pick up a tambourine, which was the other dreadful and dreadfully abused instrument of '60s popular music. We're back in the 60s on ABC Radio around Australia. This is Bob Hudson. This is Manfred Mann, but that's the name of the group, not the name of the bloke who sang. I think that was Paul Jones, wasn't it? Yeah, I reckon.
She's out of reach and out of sight. When she walks by, she brightens up the neighborhood. Oh, every guy would think of his if he just could, if she just would. Some sweet day. If she just would, some sweet day I'll make her mine. Pretty flamingo, then every guy will envy me, 'cause paradise is where I'll be. Sha la 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 la, pretty flamingo.
Pretty Flamingo from Manfred Mann. You know, one artist I must admit I never paid much attention to in the 60s was Smokey Robinson, although we didn't get nearly as much soul music generally in Australia in the 60s as we have had on albums more recently. But a few years ago, I was in Los Angeles, and I, just because the concert was on, I went along to a concert that was actually put on, it was put on by Motown Records, which was, you know, the big record company that Smokey Robinson and Stevie Wonder and a whole lot of people were signed with. And it was to, because voting in America is not compulsory, they had a concert to, which was Motown encouraging black people to register to vote in Los Angeles. And so all the artists on the Motown catalog did this big stadium show. And, I went along. It was a really lovely, friendly atmosphere and all of that. I think that myself and my mate that I went with were among relatively few palish faces in the audience. But it was a lovely night. And for the first time, I really paid attention to Smokey Robinson because he's a terrific singer and he's done some very good songs in his time. But the stage presence of Smokey Robinson when you actually see him working live, oh, talk about audience in the palm of the hand. Tears of a Clown, Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. This is Bob Hudson. We're back in the 60s, as we are every Saturday night on ABC Radio.
You to me are sweet as roses in the morning. And you to me are soft as summer rain that don't fill up a shed. That's something red. The sidewalks and the street, the concrete and the clay beneath my feet begins to crumble. But love will never die, because we'll see the mountains tumble before we say goodbye. My love and I will be in love eternally. That's the way. That's the way it's meant to be. All around, I see the purple shades of evening. And on the ground, shadows fall. And once again, you're in my arms. So tenderly, the sidewalks in the street, the concrete and the clay beneath my feet begins to crumble. But love will never die, because we'll see the mountains crumble before we say goodbye. My love and I will be in love eternally. And that's the way it's meant to be. The sidewalks in the street, the
concrete and the clay beneath my feet
begins to crumble.
But love
will never die,
because we'll see
the mountains tumble
before we say goodbye. My love and I will be in love eternally.
That's the way.
That's the way it's meant to be.
That's the way.
Concrete and Clay from the British group Unit 4 Plus 2. This is Bob Hudson back in the 60s on ABC Radio with more to come.
ABC News, I'm Peter Collin. Kuwait's war court has sentenced seven people to death, six of them journalists, for collaborating with Iraqi occupiers. It brings to nine the total given the death penalty in the martial law trials, which began a month ago. Christopher Skase, the bankrupt former entrepreneur, is flying back to Spain tonight after having his passport confiscated yesterday and returned today. Mr. Skase, the former head of the Quintex Group and Channel 7, filed for bankruptcy this week in the federal court in Brisbane with personal debts of some $80 million. He boarded a Malaysian Airlines jet out of Brisbane today. The trustee appointed by the federal court said Mr. Skase's passport was returned because he'd complied with the provisions of the Bankruptcy Act. Continuing eruptions by the Mount Pinatubo volcano and the effects of a cyclone posed many problems in the Philippines today. There were 10 eruptions of the volcano overnight and by midday today. Ash, combined with storm clouds and rain, threw communities nearby into darkness, and twilight fell in Manila in mid-afternoon. Defence Secretary Fidel Ramos called on Manila residents to remain calm, saying the unusual weather and darkness would...
This little round the blue seas of London town, eagerly pursuing all the latest fashion trends, for he's a dedicated follower of fashion. Oh yes he is,
oh yes he is.
To be looked at, and when he pulls his frilly nylon and his raked up face, he feels a dedicated follower of fashion. Oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is.
There's one thing that he loves, and that is flattery. One week he's in polka dots, the next week he's in stripes, but he's a dedicated follower of fashion. They seek him here, they seek him there, in Regent Street and Leicester Square. Everywhere the Carnavian army marches on.
still. Pleasure-seeking individual, always looks the best, for she's a dedicated follower of fashion. Oh, yes, she is.
Oh, yes, she is.
Flits from shop to shop just like a butterfly. In matters of the club, he is as fickle as can be, cause he's a dedicated follower of fashion. He's a dedicated follower of fashion.
I only have one tiny complaint about that song, and that's that they give you the impression somewhere in there that they're going to find a word to rhyme with butterfly, and they never do. Ray Davies and the Kinks, and dedicated follower of fashion, round Australia on ABC Radio. This is Bob Hudson with the sounds of the 60s, and our special tonight, our regular Saturday night, late night musical special. Well, there's always something special, it's always something different, not, you know what I mean. Is on clothes. My producer, Alison White, and I were tossing up just how to present this theme to you tonight. We thought, now, will we go, for example, in chronological order and start with hoop petticoats and peg pants and work our way perhaps through miniskirts and then down to end up with the bell bottoms? But we thought, no, that everyone, that's the first thing you'd think of, isn't it? That's just too tawdry and cliched a way to approach such a vital subject as the fashion garments of the 1960s as immortalised in the songs of the era. So what we're going to do instead is start from the top of the head and work down.
Well,
From top to toe we go tonight with the fashions of the 60s in song. Brand new leopardskin pillbox hat from Bob Dylan. And that was a style that you can picture the look, can't you? Jackie Kennedy used to wear hats like that, little sort of square things. And I think probably Audrey Hepburn would have back then as well. Usually with an elegant little black dress and some pearls, perhaps. Which reminds me that, once again, when we were setting ourselves parameters for this program, we thought to ourselves, now, are we going to not just include clothes, but branch out into accessories? And we are talking about the 60s. It was the generation when the accessories really came into their own. You just had to have accessories that matched, you know, plastic clunky stuff to hang on yourself. So, yes, accessories tonight are getting a run. Jean Pitney.
There's a story the gypsies know is true. That when your love wears golden earrings, she belongs to you. An old love story that's known to very few. That if you wear these golden earrings, love will come to you. By the burning fire, they will glow with every coal. Your guiding light, and let this pair of golden earrings cast their spell tonight.
Pitney, what a great voice, and he was a good songwriter too, Jean Pitney. Wrote some terrific stuff. Golden earrings, fitting the fashion theme quite nicely tonight. I'm going to just slip back into the 1950s because in the very, very, I have a personal nostalgic reason for this, because in the very, very late 1950s, I was an extremely young teenager. Was I still a teenager then? I mean, was I a teenager then by then? Possibly. I'll have to count on my fingers. Yes, only just. Only just at the end of the 1950s. And I can remember my first pair of long pants, which I inherited from my cousin, who was a bodgy. I took him for a bodgy anyhow. He had a sort of a ducktail haircut and side levers, and he wore peg pants. And I inherited an old pair of his peg pants. Oh, I hero worshipped him. What a wonderful fellow. And these pants, they were bottle green with silver fleck all the way through them. Remember that? Remember the fleck look? Oh, it was terrific. And they went absolutely superbly, I remember at the time, with an orange jumper that, strangely enough, also had silver fleck and black piping. I was a discreet young teenager. I really was. I was just so suave. And these pants were pegged, which meant that you took the legs in as tightly as you possibly could. You certainly couldn't keep your shoes on to put them on or anything like that. That was all my dad's argument was always that a pair of pants wasn't a pair of pants unless you could put them on with your shoes still on. And we had a few disagreements about that back in those days, particularly when he saw the pair of trousers that my cousin had passed on to me. But what was really cute about them, I think, was that they were pegged up to the pockets. You couldn't very well peg the pockets because you also had to walk around with your hands in your pockets. And so they tended to look more like jodhpurs than anything else. You had this really stovepipe look to just above the knees, and then they billowed out. And, of course, that was where you kept your wallet and your keys. And your keys were frequently then on a keychain. Remember the keychain? And you tied the little leather loop at one end of the keychain onto the button on the top of your trousers, and then the keychain went and disappeared into your pocket. Now, this usually made it absolutely impossible to open the door when you got home because the chain wasn't long enough and you had to take your trousers off to do it. But it was a great look. It was a wonderful fashion. And it was the sort of outfit that if only you had, say, a white sports coat and a pink carnation, you would have looked absolutely ace.
A white sport coat and a pink carnation.
I'm sorry, the pedants always pick you up on that. It's a sport coat, not a sports coat. end of incarnation, Marty Robbins from the late 1950s, when the whole world had nothing better to do but get dressed ready for the 60s. This is Bob Hudson, Round Australia on ABC Radio. We're playing the songs of the 60s, and more or less, and tonight, fashion, clothes, songs of the era about the clothes of the era, or in some instances, about the very fabrics. Don't think we're going to miss out any important garments of the 50s and 60s tonight. Remember this one from Brian Hyland.
She was afraid to come out of the locker. She was as nervous as she could be. She was afraid to come out of the locker. She was afraid that somebody would say,
"Tell the people what she wore."
It was an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini that she wore for the first time today. An itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. So in the locker she wanted to stay.
2, 3, 4, stick around, we'll tell you more.
She was afraid to come out in the open, and so a blanket around her she wore. She was afraid to come out in the open, and so she sat bundled up on the shore.
2, 3, 4, tell the people what she wore.
It was an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini that she wore for the first time today. An itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini.
So in the blanket she wanted to stay.
2, 3, 4, stick around, we'll tell you more.
Now she's afraid to come out of the water, and I wonder what she's gonna do. Now she's afraid to come out of the water, and the poor little girl's turning blue.
2, 3, 4, tell the people what she wore.
It was an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini that she wore for the first time today. An itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. So in the water she wanted to stay.
From the locker to the blanket, from the blanket to the shore, from the shore to the water.
Guess there isn't any more.
Brian Harland, Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini. That was an absolute killer, that. A biggie in its day. And I seem to remember, actually, an answer song, which was sung, I can't remember who did it now, it'll come back to me eventually, sung by the girl who wore the Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini, and it was called I Wore an Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini. The absolutely spectacular fashions of the 60s. I went to a 60s party recently, and it was really lovely because it was like a big corporate thing and people had rented costumes and all sorts of things. And it was very impressive to see that whole range of outfits, from those lovely spangly ball frocks and party frocks of the era right through to really bright check plastic outfits with big matching hats. The 60s was a wonderful era to get dressed in. This is Bob Hudson, Round Australia on ABC Radio. The time's 11:30. And let me take you now to, I guess, my all-time favourite 60s song about clothes. The most wonderful thing that a girl could do for a bloke back then as a token of her undying love was to knit him a jumper. And I guess the most beautiful thing that the chap in question could do to show his affection for the young lady and his appreciation of the jumper was to write and or sing a song about it. This is a boy called Jess Conrad, and the song is about his jumper.
Gave to me, I am wearing and wear it constantly. Soft and warming, like your love for me. It was made, dear, like you were made for me. This pullover I find very smart, for it tells me that we will never part. Don't you worry, my little sweetheart. Just like you, dear, it's closest to my heart. When I touch it, I can see you clearly. When I clutch it, I can feel you near me. When I'm lonely, I simply wrap it round me. And I feel I'm holding you so tight, so tight. This pullover that you gave to me, I'll keep wearing until eternity. Soft and warming, it will always be. Like the true love you'll always give to me. When I touch it, I can see you clearly. When I clutch it, I can feel you near me. When I'm lonely, I simply wrap it round me. And I feel I'm holding you so tight, so tight. This pullover that you gave to me,
I'll keep wearing until eternity. Soft and warming, it will always be. Like the true love you'll always give to me. Like the true love you'll always give to me. Like the true love.
Sometimes when I listen to that song, I get the feeling that perhaps he liked the jumper even better than the person who knitted it for him. He's got that funny attitude, hasn't he? Jess Conrad, This Pullover. But it's the sort of song, isn't it, that really, now be honest, isn't that the sort of song that makes you want to know more about it? Because he doesn't really go into any description. That's what I really was busting to know. You know, was it cashmere? Was it fisherman's knit? Was it a bulky knit? Remember bulky knits? They were pretty good. I guess they're probably still around. I remember seeing Edna Everidge on one of her television specials. Edna Everidge, I don't want to shatter too many illusions, but is in fact a man called Barry Humphries who dresses up in women's clothes. But Edna Everidge was interviewing Roger Moore, who's a wonderful character, but she actually embarrassed him a bit because the research department had managed to find an old book of knitting patterns from when Roger was a young model. And there was Roger on page 53 with pattern number 57 modelling the jumper of the day in bright yellow, as I recall, being a knitwear model in a catalogue. And I think that in the world of high fashion modelling, there is a pecking order. And, you know, I think the cover of major glossy magazines is the top of the pecking order. And I have a strong suspicion that perhaps, not counting footballers who do TV commercials for menswear stores, I think perhaps the bottom of the food chain there is the knitting catalogue. Although I'm sure that there's some very, very lovely people model for knitting catalogues. I just don't think many of them go on to grow up to be Roger Moore. Anyhow, we're dressing up in our 60s clothes tonight. And look, here is a fantastic... This is Mr. Rockabilly Eddie Cochran. It's not a really well-known Eddie Cochran song, but you are going to love it.
When I pass the display window, open the department store. But I look inside this window, man, it's all filled up with wrecks. Down there near the bottom was a crazy pad and big drink swag. Yeah, well, I knew before this cat. To a salesman, I said, mister, I'm flat broke. Gotta have them pink slacks. I said, what is this, man, a joke? Well, I asked him how much money. He said, add up 4 and 8. I said, man, them pants is crazy. Them pink brown acetate. I gotta have them. Damn, well, I need them for this cat. Baby, asked her for some dough. I said, well, you know I love you, honey, but what do you need this money for? Well, I told her about them beggars. I went across downtown. She got a small buck from her daddy. Yeah, and I turned my four around. I gotta have them. Yeah, well, I need them for this cat. Well, I'm not no cat without them. To stop, rushed into the store. I said, man, I got a sawbuck. I said, sorry, boy, I need $2 more. I said, what's the matter? Can I charge it? I said, man, we don't get these things for free. I said, but mister, you just don't know what these pink beggars mean to me.
That's terrific. Eddie Cochran, Pink Slacks. Chaps tended to sing about their trousers a lot back in the 60s and the late 50s for reasons that I don't understand. Eddie was not alone there. I've got another one about trousers coming. In fact, a few about trousers. We've got down to that level, in fact, that we'll be spending the rest of the night on trousers and footwear, because in our quest for songs about the fashions of the 60s, we've been going tonight from top to toe, and we're on our way heading right for the bottom. Here's a group called the Sparkle Tones. They were rather specialists in songs about clothes. They wrote a few, and this was one of their great ones. From the Sparkle Tones. Might come back to them in a minute, because they did another very cute one about clothes. But here is another track. Got so much music to play and so little time. This is really the most enigmatic of the fashion songs of the late 50s and 60s, because I remember when short shorts, it was probably the first time they came in. It would have been late 50s into the early 60s. And you know the sort of shorts that these days usually are worn by people in shopping centres on Saturday mornings, and they're frequently made out of terry towel. And frequently the people wearing them are a bit overweight, and they're riding on the escalator in front of you, and it rather tends to spoil the nostalgic mood that can be created if you listen to this defiant hymn to that glorious early 60s fashion item by the Royal Teens.
Oh man, dig that crazy chick.
Now, those lyrics, I'm the first to admit, don't explore the subject terribly much. But evocative all the same. The Royal Teens and short shorts. Who wear short shorts? We wear short shorts. Good stuff, good stuff. This is Bob Hudson on ABC Radio around Australia. And tonight we're dressed up in 60s clothes, the fashions of the 1960s. And the late 1950s, as I pointed out before, the late 1950s were when fashion boomed. Remember when colours were very important? I mean, these days, I think the fashion industry tries, they'll fill a window up with green or something like that and try and kid you that it's the colour of the year, but basically people don't care. You know, you don't go to work or down the street and find half the people there wearing the same colour, really. Unless you work in the army or something like that, I suppose. But in the 50s and 60s, if a colour was in, well, everyone seemed to wear it. I remember when black and pink were very fashionable. Black with pink accessories for blokes, usually, like a black sports jacket and a thin pink tie was very popular. Nothing sissy about that. It was quite a pale pink. And pink jumpers with black slacks underneath. Oh, yes, black and pink was a big combination. I remember actually painting my push bike black with pink trim, you know, on those little raised up bits on the Malvern Star where the tubes all joined together. They were pink and the rest was black. And black jeans, before blue jeans were fashionable, pants were made out of denim, but they were black. I can remember black jeans being in long before they brought in these blue ones, but they didn't call them jeans. They called them black denim trousers, and they were sometimes worn by people who lived disreputable, dangerous lives.
He wore black denim trousers and motorcycle boots and a black leather jacket with an eagle on the back. He had a hot tub sickle that took off like a gun. That fool was the terror of Highway 101. Lanwha! Well, he never washed his face and he never combed his hair. He had axle grease embedded underneath his fingernails. On the muscle of his arm was a red tattoo, a picture of a heart saying, "Mother, I love you." He had a pretty girlfriend by the name of Mary Lou, but he treated her just like he treated all the rest. And everybody pitied her, cause everybody knew he loved that doggone motorcycle best. He wore black denim trousers and motorcycle boots and a black leather jacket with an eagle on the back. He had a hot popsicle that took off like a gun. That fool was the terror of Highway 101. Girl, she pleaded and she begged him not to leave. She said, "I've got a feeling if you write tonight, I'll grieve." But her tears were shed in vain and her every word was lost in the rumble of his engine and the smoke from his exhaust. He said, like the devil, there was fire in his eyes. He said, "I'll go 1,000 miles before the sun can rise." But he hit a screaming diesel that was California bound. And when they cleared the wreckage, all they found was a trousers and motorcycle boots and a black leather jacket with an eagle on the back. But they couldn't find the sickle that took off like a gun, and they never found the terror of Highway 101.
Black denim trousers and motorcycle boots from the Cheers. Not just a great song about the wearing apparel of the era, but also the most cheerful song about a tragic accident that you'd ever hope to hear. Well, we've just about made it down to the ankles now, and it's footwear, footwear, footwear for the rest of the evening. I did mention that I'd go back to the Sparkle Tones, who were specialists in singing about various items of wearing apparel. A song of theirs called Penny Loafers and Bobby Socks. Bobby Socks, everyone remembers. Penny Loafers I've had explained to me, more of an American phenomenon, particularly with the penny involved. A penny is the American word also for one of their cents, and the penny loafers were a little pair of leather slip-ons, really, with, you know, that sort of useless-looking chunks of leather stuff that they stick on the top of shoes sometimes, often on top of really expensive ones, in the front. And penny loafers, amongst all of these little tied-up knots of leather and sundry rubbish, not stuff you tie your shoes with, just decorative stuff, woven into this was a cent, and that's why they were called penny loafers. It was a little gimmick and a huge fashion item in the United States at the time. Penny loafers and bobby socks from the Sparkle Tones. And yes, we're down to the shoes, and I think you're probably way ahead of me.
Now I've got a guy and his name is Julie. He's my guy and I love him truly. He's not good looking, heaven knows, but I'm wild about his crazy clothes. He wears tan shoes with pink shoelaces, a polka dot vest, and man oh man, he wears tan shoes with pink shoelaces and a big Panama with a purple hat band. He takes me deep sea fishing in a submarine. We go to drive-in movies in a limousine. He's got a Whirly Birdie and a 12-foot yacht. Oh, but that's not all he's got. He's got tan shoes with pink shoelaces, a polka dot vest, and man, oh man, he wears tan shoes with pink shoelaces and a big Panama with a purple hat band. Going to war, so he went out and enlisted in a fighting corps, but he landed in the rig for raising such a storm when they tried to put him in a uniform. He wanted tan shoes with pink shoelaces, a polka dot vest, and man oh man, he wanted tan shoes with pink shoelaces and a big Panama with a purple hat band. One day, Doogie started feeling sick, and he decided that he better make his will out quick. He said,
just before the angels come to carry me, I will sit down and write and how to bury me.
A wearing tan shoes with pink shoelaces, a polka dot vest, and man, oh man, a gave me tan shoes with pink shoelaces, and a big Panama with a purple hat band. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Purple Hat Band.
Dirty Stevens, tan shoes and pink shoelaces, the fashion items of the 50s and 60s in song tonight. It's funny, isn't it? Shoes really got people worked up.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoe. You can do anything but off of my blue suede shoe. Well, you can knock me down, step in my face, slander my name all over the place, and do anything that you wanna do. But honey, lay off of my shoes, and don't you step on my blue suede shoes. You can do anything, but lay off of my blue suede shoes. My car, you drank my liquor from my old fruit jar. You do anything that you wanna do, but honey, lay off of them shoes and don't you step on my blue suede shoes. You can do anything, but lay off of my blue suede shoes. Right. Money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoes. You can do anything, but lay off of my blue suede shoes. But it's blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Yeah, blue, blue.
Blue Suede Shoes, a song often identified with Elvis Presley, but that was Carl Perkins who wrote and originally recorded it. And from Blue Suede Shoes, having started at the beginning of our special on fashion of the 50s and 60s with brand new leopard skin pillbox hat, the only direction that we can possibly head is one in which we will be taken by Nancy Sinatra.